Oh.
All right, I would like to call to order the Board of Ethics meeting of July 12th, 2023. Clerk, would you please call the
Okay. Board Member Gabrowski?
Here.
Board Member Lopez?
Here.
Board Member Tilstra is absent. Vice Chair McElroy?
Here.
And Chair Benn?
Here. All right, so move to approve the minutes of the January 11th, 2023 special meeting. Is there a second?
Second.
Is there anyone wishing to make public comment on the motion?
Oh, wait, I do have actually a big question. This is in our attendance side. That may be Diane. We have one person pending. So someone should raise their hand. If you want to speak, please raise your hand in the Zoom window so we know you want to speak during public comment. Doesn't look like. I think they're just attending to watch. Oh, but there's Diane. I'm going to get her connected really quick. Hi, Diane. Can you hear us okay?
Yes, I can. Thank you. Thank you for your patience. I have a foster dog who needed attention.
How many dogs do you have?
Oh, just her.
Oh, I have four dogs and they're very large. I have like 550 pounds of dog.
Oh,
I have only 51 pound of dog. She's a beautiful
Dalmatian. I think you're in the better situation.
Yeah. I think so. She had to go out to the yard. She had to go for a break.
Yeah.
It be like that sometimes. I'm going to ask, are there any questions, comments, or corrections to the minutes?
I will note that Chair Dunn found a typo on the signature page, so I will correct that for finalizing.
Okay. No, I have none. Thank you.
All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Those opposed by saying nay. Are there any other, the motion is declared adopted. Are there any other items of interest?
And this is, I think we had didn't have anything else on the agenda, but I know we wanted to introduce our new board member. So I don't know if you want to do introductions, and then I think Charles had a training topic maybe. That was all we had in mind.
Perfect. Yes, let's go with introductions.
Oh no. Yeah. Could I get like where people are from or kind of what they do, you know, because I think that would be helpful for me. So, okay. My name is Kashmir Gavronsky. That's going to change once my divorce is finalized, which is a good thing. And I work for this Pierce County Human Services. I run a countywide human services program, the long-term care ombudsman program. And it's been about almost 10 years with the county, 7 in this role. And so I'm excited to be here and thank you for nominating me, putting me out there. So thank you very much.
It is good to have a full board.
Yes, welcome.
Joe, since you're here with us, would you mind going next?
I am Joe Lopez. I actually previously served on this board about 10 to 12 years ago. I am a retired attorney. I briefly spent some time on the city council about 7 or 8 years ago.
What type of law did you practice?
Most recently, it was workman's comp stuff.
Okay. Thank you.
I was in practice with my wife.
Fine.
Fine.
Yeah,
Ms. Diane, would you like to go next?
Yes, this is Diane with Ruth. Can you say hi? My name is Diane Tilstra, and I've been in Tacoma for about 10 years. My background is in philanthropy with nonprofits for the large part of my career. And I'm still working. I work doing event logistics for the Tacoma Refugee Choir, and I also serve as a volunteer with Meaningful Movies Tacoma Gig Harbor, and we show documentary films in our city about once a month in order to encourage people to have conversations about tough topics.
That's awesome. Excellent.
Yes, it's awesome. Thank you for sharing. By Sharon Irwin, would you like to go next?
Yes, thank you, Chair Gunn. Everybody can hear me, yeah?
Yes.
Okay, I pulled over because I realized the agenda was short, so I was like, I could just pull over and introduce myself. So my name is Chelsea McElroy. I have been on the Board of Ethics since December 2020. I think my term is over this year, December 2023, unless I run again. I am in the nonprofit sector. I'm a preschool teacher at Pierce County Youth, and we do after-school programming. And then I'm also on the Tacoma Public School Board, and I was elected in 2021.
Thanks for sharing.
Nice.
Yeah. I'll go next, and then Mr. Lee, we'll have you go if you don't mind. Marcus Antonio, that is my full first name. You can call me Marcus Antonio or Gunn, either works perfectly. I currently serve as a policy associate of equity, diversity, inclusion, and professional development for the State Board of Community and Technical Colleges. So that's basically the integration of policy and programming for adult learners across our state. And I've been on the board since January.
Wow. Yeah.
Mr. Lee.
You're on mute.
Sorry about that. I muted myself when I coughed. My name's Charles Lee. I am an attorney at the city attorney's office, as we'll soon cover. Per the code, there is an attorney from the city attorney's office who assists the ethics board except in the case of a potential conflict. I've been with the city for, I think, 17 years now.
Wow.
12 of those previously were spent at the prosecutor's office. And prior to that, I had 3 years as an attorney for the Navy and 1 year for the Department of Labor. I've been assisting the ethics board for the last few years, and I am available anytime you have questions or need assistance.
Last but certainly not least, Ms. Susan, do you mind introducing yourself as well?
I'm Susan Haig. I'm currently the interim city clerk. Doris Sorum retired at the end of June, so I'm sitting in that role for now. We are hiring someone that will not be me to be the city clerk, so we'll have a new face probably by the next meeting. But I might still attend because I have been taking it for this board for at least, I think, a couple of years. There was the COVID interim in there. But I've worked in the city for about 5 years, and my other hat is that I'm the records manager so I give records management advice to city departments.
Thank you.
And Susan, just a quick point. When I pronounce your last name, it's Haig.
Yep, like the Haig in Germany. Yep, or wherever.
Okay, in Netherlands. Okay,
yes, Netherlands. Thank you. I think that was wrong. Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you all for entertaining us and introducing ourselves to our new board member. With that, Mr. Lee, there was a training topic that you wanted to inform us about.
And not so much a training topic, but maybe a short orientation for our new member, especially since we're having the benefit of actually having a meeting. I was talking to Susan prior to this evening's meeting, and we were kind of talking about whether or not we should bring up the topic of how infrequently we actually get to meet. And I thought it would be worth bringing it up, just because I think sometimes as a new member, it's surprising when you see that the meetings get canceled. And, if you think about it from a certain perspective, that's usually good news because it means that, people have not felt that there was a violation of the ethics code and they haven't raised any complaints. And or if they have, they've been of a simple enough nature that the board has felt comfortable handling it administratively and through email. But I do think it's nice from time to time to be able to see each other's faces, hear each other's voices, and get a chance to talk. But in any case, for our new member, One of the things that are very important for you to do is to review the Tacoma Municipal Code, specifically Chapter 1.46.
Yep, and I have it right here.
Yeah, and you should have gotten an email from me yesterday, and so it'll have a link. And actually, am I able to share my screen, Susan?
I can give you permission. Let me see if I just muted you. I'm sorry. And I'm sorry, Charles, I muted you. There you go.
No worries. Can you see it?
Yeah.
Okay, great. So if you've never looked for the Tacoma Municipal Code, you can just go straight to the city's website, which is www.cityoftacoma.org. You scroll right above government. Go over to Municipal Code, click on it, scroll down, and we would be in under Title One. And I happen to have already opened it. Hopefully my highlights remained. Nope. Maybe my other version. Let's see. I think by redoing it, I lost my, oh, there we go. And, you know, because unlike some CVCs, which maybe just generally cover specific topics or areas, you have a very important and narrow task, which is if covered officials are accused of violating the ethics code, either through the RCW or TMC 1.46, it will.
Mr. Lee, are you showing us something? Because if you are, we aren't seeing it. We're still.
Oh, that's strange.
I see it on the computer.
Yeah.
Can you see it?
We're just seeing the web page. Are you trying to show the code?
I switched it to 1.46.
You might try to stop sharing and then restart. I think it just picks up the browser and not the screen for some reason.
Interesting. Thank you though for pointing that out. How about now? Can you see it now?
Yes.
There we go. Okay.
And you see a highlight.
Yes. And so the first part I bring up is the construction. Although we oftentimes look at just 1.46, covered officials are also responsible for following RCW 42.23. However, in my experience, there's not really a conflict. If anything, I think that the city's code maybe just goes into a little bit more specifics in terms of some of the various forms of conduct. But here you'll find the definitions. You'll see what a covered official is. Generally speaking, the type of complaints that we typically get will be either elected officials like the mayor or a council member. We'll sometimes get appointed members of other CBCs. And by CBC, I mean a commission, board, or a committee. And that's you're the sole jurisdiction for those types of complaints. And as I was indicating before, what this title and chapter really attempts to do is go into a little bit more specifics in terms of what we have in mind to be violations. And so you'll actually get a very long list of various forms of conduct. So when possible, please go over it. If you have any questions specifically about any of the types of conduct, please reach out and we can discuss. I would say that at least in the last 3 years, this is actually what I think is the most common area of the code to get triggered. And not that they cite this. Oftentimes what you'll actually see is somebody will send a complaint to either one person or everybody at the city. They'll throw in the word ethics and violation and then they'll describe some sort of conduct that they believe is wrong. And so what I typically do once the clerk's office sends it to me is I will look at it and I will see, in my opinion, whether or not the facts as alleged match up with any specific provisions. And if they do, I'll note that for the board. If I don't see a connection to it, those are generally the ones that you're going to see where I just indicate, even if the facts are proven true as alleged, they don't appear to violate any specific sections of the TMC 1.46 or CW 42.23, and then recommend a dismissal. But when you go through, you're going to see certain common themes, and really what they really kind of key in on is people who are misusing their position, they're misusing city resources. So, you know, all of the things that you hear in the news where people are complaining on the federal level, where apparently there's a lot more ambiguity at that level. A very specific example right now is I keep reading news articles that are pointing out Supreme Court justices who may or may not be getting unduly enriched through their roles as Supreme Court justices. I can say very specifically, I think that if some of those same accusations were made against our elected officials, I think our code very specifically would prohibit some of those types of conduct.
Do you guys get, I just can imagine the complaints being very politically motivated during certain seasons or cycles, or is it not? I'm just wondering how if this is ever misused for other reasons or for...
I try not to look at it that way. I try to...
Not misused is probably not the right word, but you know that people have a different lens.
I guess this is what I'd say. I think that it's been my impression that there are certain individuals that draw more complaints than others. And so whether you call it political, it's very clear that sometimes... some complainants just don't like somebody. Oh, and so we will get multiple vague complaints about them.
Okay, that's a good way to put it. Thank you.
But in any case, you know, what we very clearly try to make clear for our employees and covered officials and whatnot is, you know, you can't use your computer to run your eBay business. You can't use your position as an elected official to, you know, promote your own side business, you know, things like that are not allowed. You can't use your position to, you know, gain some sort of financial advantage. And so you're going to see very specific prohibitions about participating in the selection of contractors or the awards of contracts. You'll see prohibitions even once you leave the city about, you know, becoming the recipient of those types of financial relationships. And so there'll be a specific time period that you have to wait before you can even be considered for those types of things. But to answer your question a little bit in more detail, a lot of the complaints that we'll see will be like, I think we had one, you know, within the last couple of years where the mayor at a news conference, and she was upset about what had happened to, you know, one of our residents, and I believe she said some words to the effect of, "I'm here on behalf of, you know, this individual and his family," and that was enough to draw a ethics complaint, and then it ultimately becomes up to the board on whether or not, for instance, H, subsection H here, is being violated if, you know, the mayor is now using her position to secure what the code would call special privileges or exceptions for herself or other persons. You know, I can say what my take on that was. That was clearly not a violation. I don't think that was the intent of anybody who wrote this type of prohibition. Again, I'm really trying not to be political in this situation, but in that very specific case, I think she was specifically just saying that all people should have the right to not be harmed. And so I think it'd be a stretch to call not being harmed a special privilege. But in any case,
I remember that one. It was like the only one that we actually had a meeting about. So a lot of the other things that would get brought up, we would dismiss it because it holds little merit or it doesn't break the code. And then the email you get will explain like exactly where in the code the person is complaining about. And like, you can click on that and then read further and say for yourself, like if you want to have a meeting about something, we always can. But I remember in that one, we wanted to have the meeting even though we were going to dismiss it. Just so that we can get a little bit more clarity. But other than that, a lot of the meetings do get dismissed. Like you're saying, Charles, there's a lot of, not politically motivated, but there's just a lot of ire. And I think sometimes when people are frustrated with their elected officials, they will try to find means to deal with them. And we are one of the people that catch all of the means of dealing with an elected official, the conversation at that time, and then understanding our role better. I learned the role because of that experience.
Yeah, and that's exactly right. And so when we get a complaint, if I think something is really black and white, I'll state my opinion, but at the end of the day, it's ultimately your determinations that, win the day. And, but in this situation, it's my impression that H is a very clear violation would be something like somebody insisting on some sort of financial bribe in order to approve a permit. And at least in the last few years, we have not had any kind of complaints that are that black and white in nature. But, this provision isn't written in a way where it says, no bribing, no accepting of bribes. It's written very broadly. And so, as Chelsea was indicating, I think that, if I can see where a board member may reasonably have some questions or want to discuss it, I'll suggest that. And you always see it'll say, we'd like your vote on whether this should be dismissed or whether or not, further discussion is necessary. And then we would then have a special meeting scheduled in order to discuss. And nobody should ever feel hesitant to indicate, that you have a question or you want to discuss. That's why we're here.
Yeah, I think that you said it at the beginning, Charles. You'll find that like when they say no news is good news.
Yeah.
I think that in our business or in this case of this board, that is truly the case.
Yeah.
I was talking to my husband about just this last 6-7 months of being on the board, and I can say, well, Tacoma's not doing anything, crazy out there. So no news is definitely good news. And I do like Charles' approach of listing out everything for you, listing out codes for you. And once again, just asking, how do you feel? What do you think that we need to meet? So as he suggested, anytime that there is a confusion about what you see and what you read, we're here specifically to go through those matters. So
okay.
Yeah, feel free.
No, I'm excited. I run a complaint-based program. So I always say, they just haven't gotten caught yet. sorry. I don't want to disparage
city employees
or anything.
I understand what you mean. I think you can take the same approach when it comes to audits and monitoring.
Yeah, exactly. So,
and mind you, we feel complaints in any possible way, and so, we have an official complaint system. However, you know, we can just as easily get a complaint because somebody emails the city manager or a council member or makes a complaint to an employee, and we all have responsibility for forwarding that through if we receive it. And so even if I'm on the street having lunch and somebody hands me a complaint and it names a covered official for the city of Tacoma, I would provide it to the clerk's office, and that would be forwarded and numbered as an official complaint, ethics complaint. But, you know, just as we're passing through, just to illustrate my point of how, you know, we have some of the same kinds of considerations that you see in the news for federal matters. You know, as a city employee, we would also not be able to disclose privileged, confidential, or proprietary information. But, you know, this 1.46 is very detailed. It's going to talk about how the complaints come in, which we've already sort of covered. It talks about the composition of the board, how you meet, that you are subject to the Open Public Meetings Act. That is why that email that I sent is going to be very important. The city currently satisfies your open government training requirements using the state attorney general's online training. You have 90 days from your swear-in or taking office to complete it, and then you only have to get a refresher every 4 years after that. But interestingly enough, the state does not require public records training, which I have always found interesting because, you know, public records walks hand in hand with the public meetings in terms of allowing sunshine laws to be effective, transparency, accountability, and whatnot. And if anything, there are some CBCs for the city that probably don't hit the state's requirement for requiring OPMA, but there's almost nobody who is in a CBC who does not at some point create a public record.
Right.
And in any case, the city, regardless of whether the state requires it, we do direct all CBCs, advisory groups, task force members to take all of the lessons provided by the AG. And it's five. It'll take a couple of hours cumulatively. Most of them are videos. Others are PDFs. Once you review that training, if you have any questions, please reach out. I can certainly augment that training and answer any specific questions that you have once you look at that. You know, just following up on the chair's comments, you know, although we have not done this, I did want to highlight that you do have more powers than just reviewing the incoming complaints. If when you go through 1.46 and you think, you know, this just doesn't make sense, I think this would be better phrased this way, or I think this doesn't go far enough. Part of your role is making recommendations to the city on additions or changes to the ethics code. When you do receive complaints, although a lot of them are resolved through email, as I was indicating before, it's not required to be handled that way. If you felt that there needed to be a hearing, you have the power to subpoena witnesses, and we can gather more information as is necessary. But number seven is what I was indicating before. You can make recommendations to the city manager and to the council for amendments to this chapter of the city charter or any other legislation that affects the ethics board's ability to administer its duties. And I've only seen it once in the last several years, but there have been occasions where an individual will seek an advance opinion from the board on whether or not some conduct that has not taken place yet would violate the ethics code. And And if that were to come up, you know, we would probably handle it somewhat similarly, but we would probably have a meeting at that point. Mm-hmm. But F is going to go through the specific process. Oh, and Susan, can you remind me, are the bylaws on the Ethics Board's webpage?
They're on the webpage. The first link is to the 1.46, but a little bit further down, we've got the administrative procedures. Yep.
Okay. And, but it'll also cover limitations, and it'll also cover specifically what would the consequences be if you were to find a violation. But H is, anyways, I know this was a long time coming, but a big reason why I also wanted to talk about 1.46 was in light of the chair's, I think, was it the chair or was it the new member, Susan? I can't remember, but somebody was asking for all of your, like if we could share the contact information of the members.
Just for my edification, who's here. Yeah, yeah. So yeah, it wasn't going to be made public or anything. Yeah, yeah.
Right.
Like I think it is already public, right?
The names are.
And so this would be my quick take on it, or my hot take on it. There is nothing that would prohibit you as members to share your contact information. There's nothing that prohibits you from socializing outside of board meetings. The risk, however, is that if you do so, you need to be very mindful of whether you're violating the OPMA. And so this is how that would happen. Let's say a quorum of members decide to go see the next Mission Impossible movie. And there was no intent to handle any business. There's no specific complaint that we've received. However, you're overheard, you know, having some sort of discussion about ethics. Again, maybe it's one of these federal news stories and you're saying we should consider making a recommendation to the city manager or the council to also mirror, you know, some sort of prohibition. That would be enough. Where you've inadvertently had a meeting, but you did not follow OPMA in terms of noticing it and having an agenda and what have you. And so, you know, the guidance that we always receive is that when you're together, if a quorum is present, you just have to be mindful of what your comments are. This comes up where a quorum want to attend the same function. And so let's say, for instance, there's a city function. Sometimes some CBCs who have cross responsibilities will attend the others' meetings. And in those situations, we're always advising if you can, if it's just a listening mode and a receipt mode, you're always going to be safe. It's when you start speaking, when anyone starts speaking, where the danger of an inadvertent violation comes up. But that would be my only concern. And so if you do share information, you know, just to close that point, where I think we see the most inadvertent violations is where you all end up on the same email chain or the same text chain. And you know, now you're not only creating arguably some public records, if you start at any point having something that goes beyond, you know, just basic socializing. And that's why you're going to see Susan and I, every time we send an email, we'll say, do not reply all. And we're going to say it over and over and over and many times underlined. And it's not meant to be, you know, condescending or hurt or anything like that. If anything, we're just really just always trying to remind people of that, just so that we don't inadvertently violate OPMA, which would bring not only potential jeopardy for the city, but you as individual board members.
I wish more people would respect reply all. Personally.
And lastly, statute of limitations. We would not take any action if somebody alleged something occurring more than 3 years following the alleged violation. 1.46050 is, as I indicated, the types of penalties that could come if you were to find violation. And, you know, it can be anything from an admonition, a reprimand, a censure. It could be a recommended removal of that person from their city function. And that is it.
I do have one question. Sure. I'm assuming that the Board of Ethics is also under the city's requirements for diversity, equity, and inclusion. So whatever the city's policies are under human resources, that would extend to all boards and commissions. Is that correct?
I'm not sure I quite understand the extent of your question. I mean, you know, in terms of the diversity and equity goals, for an example, you know, when people apply to be on the board, I know that the selection process is mindful to have, you know, a good cross section for the city. And so, you know, I participated with Ms. Sorum, I think, when she was looking at applications, and we both agreed that our interpretation of that was, you know, everything, age, occupation, you know, ethnicity, income, perhaps, different types of, you know, private versus public industries. You know, I think at least the goal in terms of the ethics board has been what I believe is consistent with the selection for all CBCs, is that we're really trying to get the best cross section that represent all aspects of the city.
Thank you. That was my assumption, but thank you for putting it in words.
Mm-hmm. I'll ask the items of interest.
You're breaking up a little bit on my end.
You're saying, are there any other items of interest? But it sounds like a robot.
Internet services. With that, I'll entertain a motion to adjourn.
I move to adjourn.
I'll second the motion.
Those in favor, signify by saying aye.
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 The motion is declared adopted. We say thank you, everyone, for your time.
Thank you. Have a good night.
Thank you.